Welcome to the Humans and AI podcast, powered by AI Frontier Network. I'm your host, Flor La Orga. Each episode, we dive into the human story shaping artificial intelligence through the journeys of entrepreneurs, builders, and leaders. We explore the insights, challenges, and visions for the future of AI and humanity. Let's uncover the human side of AI together. Hi, Lisbeth. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining to the Humans and AI podcast. Yeah, I have to say, like, you are the first woman, so I'm happy. I'm very happy about it. Let's start. I know you are a nurse, and you say that you are a third-generation nurse. So would you mind to take us back a little bit to the beginning of your career and journey? And yeah, why did you decide to become a nurse? And where, and now you are the... You ever worked like the chief clinic staff of Avasure. How was that whole process? You don't need to tell me the whole thing, just kind of a summary.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. And that, I think that's very, it's not surprising that I'm one of your first women interviewees on AI. And I think this is probably gets to what I hope we can talk about today. So I am a nurse. And I'm the chief clinical officer for Avasure now, but my career path has been very winding to get here, like you can imagine. And nurses are still 88% women. I think something that's very important to me in my career is expanding the influence of nurses in many ways. And the way I am creating influence is in tech. But there are many other ways that nurses need to expand their influence. Every year, nurses are voted by Gallup as the most trusted, most ethical profession, but we don't have the power to match that. So I'm really happy to be where I am. And you mentioned I am a third generation nurse. My grandmother was a community health nurse in Duluth, Minnesota, in the cold, going from home to home, doing prenatal visits and just taking care of the community. And then my mother was a geriatric nurse. So I was going to be anything but a nurse. I was a harp major. I was going to be a music major, but I was working part-time in a hospital and just fell in love with it and got drawn into it, even despite my intentions. I just love how nursing is holistic and scientific and has the caring part and has an art to it. So I started out in ICU nursing, and then I got a master's degree as an acute care nurse practitioner. And then I worked in a Trinity Hospital here in Michigan as a magnet program director, which is really focusing on nursing excellence and recognizing it. And that's where my career took a complete turn and serendipity, and I discovered this innovation in virtual care and nursing. And then that led me to get connected with Entrepreneur, and I became an industry nurse executive, which is what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Okay, so how do you first draw the intersection between nursing and technology? Like, how do you combine it? How did you start that process?
I've always been very technophilic. And so in the ICU nursing, the nurses that kind of get attracted to the ICU setting tend to be really love the high tech part of care. So I've always been very interested in the technology part of patient care. And there are a few innovations that I noticed early in my career, and some of them didn't pan out. Some of them were before their time and not ready. But virtual care is the one that really took hold. And that's what I leaned into in, I think, 2009. But there's a very strong correlation between technology and nursing, and always has been. But now with AI and virtual care, it's becoming transformational, and we're really at a turning point.
Okay, so you've been with this intersection between nursing and technology, you've been working at Avasure, so since 2014. How that evolved? Like, how were you, were your interest with nursing and technology evolved to become the chief clinical officer in Avasure?
Yeah, so I started before that in 2009. I was at a Trinity Health Hospital here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we were building a new tower. And we were planning that in 2008, and we really wanted to be futuristic with our building. So we wanted high-tech cameras and audio and night vision in the patient rooms. And we thought we were going to do advanced virtual care. But we opened in 2009 in the middle of a recession, and we couldn't invest in a very fancy high-tech virtual care program. And so I was a nurse leader at the time, and I was looked to, hey, Lizbeth, what can we do with this technology we now have in the patient rooms? And so, like a lot of innovations, it was sort of serendipity that brought together this innovation that became a patient safety use case. So at that time, about 5 to 10% of patients in hospitals are confused and really at risk for falling or pulling out their medical devices, or even in dementia patients, hurt nurses. And it might lash out at nurses, and that's called workplace violence that happens to clinical staff. And so traditionally, we didn't know what else to do. So we would assign a nursing assistant to sit 24/7 and watch that patient and intervene and stop them if they were about to fall or something. It's very expensive and actually not that effective. So we realized that we could use the camera and one person could virtually keep multiple patients safe. And it was such an obvious cost savings. And I did research and published research on it. And it was more effective to prevent falls and other adverse events. So because there was such an obvious and easy to measure ROI to that, it really blossomed. And so that's what Avasure does. And then I joined Avasure then a few years later after I published research. And I've always been an executive reporting right to the CEO, but what's different was we were serving like 40 hospitals at that time, and now we have 1,200 hospitals. And as you can imagine, during COVID, we were in the right place at the right time with the technology to support in many more ways beyond just the fall prevention tool. Now we are a kind of a virtual care platform with a capital P, supporting all types of virtual care in patient rooms, virtual nursing, specialty visits, and now AI use cases.
Okay, Avasure is a virtual care platform where healthcare providers engage with patients, right? So yeah. Do you have any kind of stories, successful stories with patients that they've been very happy with what you guys doing?
And we share these every week internally, because it just really helps us all remember and come back to the meaning of our work. So there was recently a nurse, a newer nurse, and she had a very kind of complex patient assignment, and she was feeling a little overwhelmed. But there was a virtual nurse who is very experienced, who was helping support her that day with that. We would call it a heavy assignment of complex patients, and many of them were deteriorating. She was relying very heavily on the virtual nurse. The virtual nurse works at a hub, not even in the hospital, and she's near retirement and just can't keep up with the physical demands. So she was calling physicians. She was checking back on lab results, educating patients virtually, and freeing up that bedside nurse to do what she had to do. So they worked together a lot. The new nurse was calling the virtual nurse quite a few times during the day. And at the end of her shift, it's 12-hour shifts, so that's common for nursing, is she was pretty exhausted, and she had one more phone call that she had to make to the virtual nurse. And she said, one more question, am I doing a good job? And that virtual nurse could reassure her and say, you are awesome. You did awesome. We kept our patients safe together today. And new nurses, if they don't have that lifeline, they can burn out because there's a moral distress that I can't keep up and I don't have someone to reach out to. So this is just such a blessing, and it's a very human, like counterintuitively, it's a virtual care platform, but it's been used as a very human tool to support patients and maybe even more importantly, sometimes staff.
Okay, so talking about virtual nurses, Do you mean that the virtual nurses are the humans, or you're also using AI agents as nurses?
Absolutely. AI agents are not RNs. So this is a human that is using the platform to connect virtually. It's a human with the RN license in that state, just to make that absolutely clear. But there are use cases for patient safety, and there are absolutely use cases for AI, and I'd be happy to explain how that can be used.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that, because, well, like, everybody's using AI agents for everything.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of make sure that I understood.
That's a very important clarifying question. Yeah. So a virtual nurse is a human with a license.
Yeah, because nowadays you just don't know anymore. So
yes, yeah.
Start asking. Yeah. So, well, how do you balance aspects or the skills or soft skills of nursing, which is mostly related with compassion, presence, and safety, and that where the patient has to trust you. How do you kind of balance that human side with AI and automation in clinical settings?
Yeah, I think when you think of like the smart room or AI enabled, you think like that movie, The Minority Report. It's just like sleek and high tech. And it is that, it can be that. But really what excites me is when the technology can get us back to something more timeless by enabling patient-centered care that can get nurses back to, and whatever caregiver, back to the joyful tasks. And so I'll give you an example of that is AI for documentation. So AI can listen to providers, physicians, or nurses as they're talking with patients, and then scribe that into the electronic record automatically. So they can have a real conversation, and then it automatically gets documented. Instead of what's really happening now or without that is there is a workstation on wheels in between the nurse and the patient, or the doctor and the patient, and they are glancing up at you, asking questions, and then typing, like you can imagine when you're checking in at the gate at the airport, and they're just like barely paying attention to you and keying in all kinds of information. And that really blocks that connection. But if you can leverage technology in a way that the users don't even think about it, is just automatically doing that, it frees you to be able to have that caring and compassionate interaction.
Oh, yeah, makes sense. What does mean safety in a virtual care context, but not just for patients, but also for nurses and families?
Yes. As I alluded to earlier, workplace violence for caregivers is a real issue. And so in emergency departments where patients might be suffering from substance use withdrawal, mental health issues, or dementia, so they're confused and afraid of what's happening, healthcare workers are 4 times more likely to experience violence than any other profession. And so one way that AI can really assist with that is kind of several levels of it. The first most basic word is a wake word, where when you have a platform, virtual care platform in a smart room and you have audio, they can have a wake word that is, and a word is sometimes called BERT, like code BERT, which stands for Behavioral Emergency Response Team. So it's like a code, but for behavioral health. So the nurse could just ask for, I need BERT in here, or some other customized word, and then automatically triggered a safety team response for them. But beyond that, there is AI with the computer vision that analyzes behaviors of patients that might be indicating aggression. So patients will start by lashing out at inanimate objects. Like they might be shaking their bed rail or pounding on the bedside table or other nonverbal cues that they're escalating. And computer vision can be used to analyze, recognize that, and alert before somebody gets hurt. The other extremely important piece of AI in a smart virtual care platform that people don't think about is the audio. So it's not just the camera, it's the very good audio, the microphone and speaker. So they can also listen, AI can listen for a tone of voice that might indicate escalating behaviors or violence, and words or phrases. So all of those together really creates a much more robust safety net for caregivers in emergency departments, in behavioral health settings, and in anywhere where patient care is given.
Wow, that's very interesting. Yeah. Wow, that's so super interesting. Avasure has grown from 50 hospitals to 1,200 under your leadership. Can you share a little bit of the challenges with your team and yourself that you have to go through? Yeah.
Scaling is not as easy as it sounds with virtual care. And where we started too is continuous 24/7 patient safety. So it's like a lifeguard. So there has to be no latency. There has to be continuous uptime. And you have to see things at night. There has to be good night vision. It has to have good audio because a lot of patients are hard of hearing. So all of these challenges is what our developers have been working on for these 16 years that we've been doing this and scaling. So I'll give you an example. I mentioned we started with the Trinity Hospital here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then there were a handful of Trinity hospitals, and they would have like their own individual safety hub or virtual hub in their hospital. But now Trinity Health, for example, has gotten to the point that they have an Avasure hub in Chicago and Avasure hub in Connecticut. And they take care and monitor virtually their patients across the health system, just centrally from those two locations. So across state lines, there's a virtual caregiver in Connecticut who is stopping a patient from falling out of bed in California. So that kind of scale, and it's hundreds of continuous feeds. So the cloud infrastructure and the architecture for the server failover, there's all kinds of things that happen in the background to make it so the caregivers don't even think about it at the bedside. So making technology that simple to use is extremely complex.
Yeah. How do you force trust and adoption from part of your team, maybe yourself, with AI? Like, how did you embrace AI in your field?
So I think we are embracing it with a lot of thoughtfulness, especially when you mentioned that patient safety is what we're talking about. So, for example, we are the experts in fall prevention in hospitals with years of data and experience and publications behind that. We trained models on what indicates potential patient falls with computer vision. I'll give you some hints, like they start to scooch down in the bed, or when patients have to go to the bathroom, they're at risk for falling. So if they're squirming, especially dementia patients, they kind of squirm in a way that nurses call the potty dance. Or they'll sit at the side of the bed, but their core strength is not strong, so they're slumping in a way that they're at risk for falling. So we first train the models on that, and then we are deploying them at the current ratio of human to patients in testing that. And right now I am the co-investigator on, it's called IRB approved research. So it's the institutional review board of the hospital system with a nurse scientist and myself are testing those models with very rigorous research, training them and then expanding and then seeing if they can enhance the virtual caregiver to be able to manage more patients and provide that safety net to more patients. So very thoughtfully and publishing on that. And so that's the kind of the patient safety focused aspect. But then there's some just really easy logistical AI that where like the room has been cleaned or the room is clean, but there's no bed in it, or the patient is gone. So we know that the discharge can continue, or the patient has been in bed all day. They haven't gone up to the chair, or it's been 90 minutes since any caregiver has been in the room. So these are some more passive ways and automated ways that the camera can give good input to the caregivers on the care unit to really help logistically and efficiently. So that's another kind of easy, call that low-hanging fruit way to use AI.
Okay, so before we've talked a little bit about mental health in the nursing workforce, how do you basically execute that in your, as the leader of, in your team?
What, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, like for example, because we've been talking a little bit about the mental health and the normal mental health and work-life balance, which is very important for the, for avoiding burnouts and crisis and the workforce, right? I just said mental health, but actually it was work-life balance. That's my mistake.
I think they go hand in hand.
That's true. Yeah. Sorry, my microphone. Just what I wanted to say is this, like, how do you kind of embrace that and with your team? Okay, let's take care of our nurses. Let's take care of how do you do it, basically?
Caregivers, whether it's physicians or nurses and many other types of caregivers, are really at risk because they are by nature giving people, and they need to make sure they're taking care of themselves first. And so I actually did a commencement speech for a nursing graduating class, and this was one of my top three messages of my commencement speech was, you must take care of yourself first. And self-care is not just put on your own oxygen before you help someone else's oxygen, because that implies there's like a plane is crashing. It has to be a daily thing. And so for me, it's about, and it's different for everyone, but for me, recovery, I'm a person in recovery. I've been sober like 10 years now. And so I do a lot of work for recovery and healthcare providers. And I was actually appointed by the state of Michigan, the Board of Nursing for the state of Michigan, to be on the Health Providers Recovery Committee, which is something, a program that every state has, that Michigan has too, to support healthcare providers struggling with substance abuse and mental health issues to maintain their license safely. And so I think there's a stigma with that. And so that's something that I'm particularly very passionate about and just want to make sure that health providers know that they're not alone and that there are special resources for them for that. So that's just the way that I do my volunteering beyond my day job on well-being. And so I'm just really glad that I think there's a lot more conversation about that. And I'm glad you asked the question.
Okay. So I've read, I think it was yesterday, you post on LinkedIn that you're running for president of American Organization for Nursing Leadership. Can you share a little bit about that?
Oh, thank you for asking about that. Yeah, so like I said, my main passion is expanding the influence of this incredible profession of nursing. So the American Organization for Nursing Leadership is the organization that promotes having nurses be there to transform healthcare and to impact the health of our nation. So there are 12,000 members, and I'm a very active member in AONL, 7 years ago, changed the name from the American Organization of Nursing Executives to the American Organization for Nursing Leadership. Because they want to be very inclusive for nurses early. They might say, I'm not an executive, but I'm a charge nurse and I want to be a nurse manager and I want to be a leader. So this is where I can find my mentors, and this is where you can be a mentor and you can learn from each other and lean on each other. So I really care deeply about this organization and was so honored when the nominating committee asked me to run for president. So that election is happening right now. It closes on August 12th. And I would just be so honored to serve.
That's beautiful. I was like, I will ask her. So
Thank you.
before, when we started, I told you that you were the only, not the only, you're the first woman right now in my podcast. So obviously you said like this is like you're not surprised about it in this kind of tech and AI world. Like, so what is your thoughts about that?
I think I was not surprised. You said we're really focused on the profession of nursing and nursing leadership, and nursing is almost 90% women. But often, I think a mistake that is made from tech leaders, if they like, especially a tech startup, they might say to themselves, "I want to get into tech healthcare, so I better get a physician to advise me," and forget that the backbone of healthcare and our nurses, and there are 3.6 million nurses. And so in healthcare, I think there's a kind of a bias to forget about nurses, and we're still a lot of women. So that's why I was noticing that and not being surprised by that. But my daughter is going into medical school, and she is a STEM major. She just graduated from UCLA. And just think, I see a different perspective on the next generation. So I don't think that's going to continue. So I'm very pleased to be a woman leader in health tech and AI.
That's great. I love to see that. So, looking a little bit ahead, what role do you see virtual nursing playing in the next 5 years? Yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to, we were talking about virtual nursing, and I'm really glad that you clarified we're not talking about bots here. So I think I'm very excited about virtual nursing. There are a couple ways in the short term that virtual nursing is having a great impact. And there are two things. Gridlock, it can really help prevent gridlock in healthcare, and it can make nursing sexy again. Is two things that I'm excited about. So on the gridlock part, our emergency departments are under siege, and it's only going to get worse with cuts to Medicaid. And also, there's been a recent executive order to increase the amount of involuntary hospital holds for mental health patients. So all of this continues to burden our emergency departments. And then there's a bottleneck there. And but you can't get patients into the hospital unless you can get patients out. So on the discharging piece, nurses do play a part in discharging patients, and there's a lot of education that needs to happen. So virtual nurses can do that so much more elegantly and efficiently. They can help the throughput on in the health systems. So that's how they can unlock a bottleneck. And then and med-surg nursing is the medical surgical floor is the place where nurses start straight out of nursing school. And that's where they need support of a mentor, like I was talking about earlier. So that's a recruiting tool. If there's two health systems who are competing for nurses to recruit nurses, and one has a virtual nursing program, the other one is we're losing nurses to this other health system because they have that resource that nurses are looking for. So I think that's the like within the next year. But beyond that is that the ambient listening and making documentation so much easier. And documentation is a burden for not just nurses, but physicians and respiratory therapists and social workers and dietitians. So I think that's going to be a game changer. Just to pull that information from conversations and free people up. So I'm very excited about that.
That's good. It's always good to be excited about the future.
It's good to be excited and hopeful.
So, yeah. So, what's one thing you wish that every tech innovator understood about nurses?
I think that there are just so many different ways to practice nursing. And I often interact with virtual caregivers who it's an entry level and they are thinking about being a nurse. And I will tell them it took me 6 years at San Francisco State to work my way through nursing school. And so you can do it. And then the opportunities for becoming a nurse are just limitless. So I think people put nurses in a box and they think about just one version of what a nurse is. But you can be a nurse in so many different settings. You can follow your passion as a nurse, an emergency nurse. Those nurses have their own personality and their own dark sense of humor and are hilarious. Psychiatric nurses are so gentle and great listeners. Hospice nurses are like the angels. And so I think what people don't understand about nursing is all the different ways that it can be practiced and all the opportunities that there are. So I guess you were asking about tech, but I think even as a tech, if you're like, oh, I need input on nursing because this impacts nursing, you got to make sure that you're asking more than just one nurse because there's just so many different ways to practice nursing.
Yeah, thank you. So I wonder if you have advice that, or what advice would you give to someone who wants to do the same as you, lead at the intersection of healthcare and AI?
I think just lean into it. My career has been so exciting because I've had a goal. I've always had goals, but then I was open to taking a side path as it opened up. My career is not what I pictured it would be, but I did have goals. I was going to be a nurse anesthetist. But because I had that goal, then I studied hard. But then when I saw this opportunity of, you know, what I talked about, like we can use virtual care for patient safety, I had to take a big risk. I was just going to be in the hospital and stay on that side of healthcare my entire career. But when a startup entrepreneur asked me to join his team, it was a vice president at the time, I took the leap. And so I think we need to take the leap in AI and think about the ways that it supports care and then study and publish research on it and then make sure that it's helping care and caregivers.
Thanks, Lisbeth. That's all kind of all my questions for today, actually. Yeah. So I appreciate a lot this conversation. But do you have anything that you would like to share that we haven't talked about? Feel free.
No, I just think I just love your youthfulness and your informal approach. And thank you for what you're doing. And thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.